Matthew 6:33's declaration is pretty clear. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So are you seeking balance, a right spirit, and a right mind? A sense of direction must begin first with God. So actually, you can see last week's message addressing focusing on faith. It wasn't original to me. Very few things are, except my tempeh red cabbage portobello soy sauce and sesame oil concoction. Ah, that's so good. But as we begin to branch out and peruse the remaining four sides of our focus on five Pentagon, we can't forget to begin first with God, our faith, and then we see how, through the lens of Christ, it unfolds in all the other areas of our life, like with family. It's pretty clear that God was the original family man, or should I say deity. God is a God of community, and as the story tells, understands early on that the easiest way to build a community is to grow one yourself. So, we have the tale of Adam and Eve making babies and Moses saving babies, and we roll on through Father Abraham, who had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. You get the point. But making all these babies isn't just for procreation's sake, it is for co-creation's sake, for kingdom building's sake, for appreciating God's diverse expression within creation and his calling upon we, the children, to care for it and one another. Now, before I roll on through this topic of family, I want those who are beyond or who have never had children or spouse, and for those of you for your own reasons have chosen not to have children or you don't have grandchildren, I want you to hear that this gives you no reason to step out as I continue. Because within our Creator's realm, we are neighbors, if not spiritual brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers of those in our reach and witness. Look around. This is your family. Not too far off from the before Jesus days of tribes with elders and their leadership, with not only many sons but many wives, right? We care for our tribe. When Ruth and Glenda, our two beloveds here, had surgeries, you all kept them knee-deep in vittles. And when Jackson and Sarah were baptized, we all celebrated. I imagine when baby Henry was born, you were all lined up to hold him. So when you hear the following series of scriptures, which are just a few, we need to put on your family-styled hearing ears and know they speak to all of us. Those of us who are literal parents, well, we're definitely called to attention. So here we go, and when I finish, just tell me if you disagree with God's family plan. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Or as we read last week, Deuteronomy 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children's children may fear the Lord your God, all the days of your life, and keep all of his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. And then later it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your might. And keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. And talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Then there's Ephesians 6:1-14. Don't worry, there's something in here for the kids too. Children, you obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, and that may things will go well for you, and that you may live long in the land. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. You think we've been given a responsibility? Yes, we have. Do you think that how we treat and teach our children is important to our super heavenly parent? Yes, it is. Is there anyone in this room who can escape from this charge? Absolutely not. So I guess it just about covers it and we can get on with our day. Ah, not so fast. Nope, we've got some unpacking to do, and with help and spirit of Beatitudes and other scriptures, especially as we engage this week's idea of family, I've got another familiar text that I want to view in a hair-splitting, read-between-the-lines way that I think you might not enjoy, actually, from Matthew 10, verses 13-16. People are bringing their little children to Jesus in order that he might bless them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. I have always loved this passage as a pastor. I have often thought about the comfort I felt in my home and church and how welcomed I felt by my pastor, Stacy. I also remember how welcomed I felt at Christmas at my parents' home church in Olean, Indiana. Family and longtime friends of family, faith family, welcomed me. I also loved it when kids felt comfortable with me and my presence as not only an adult, but as a pastor. My door continues to be open for them. And as I have mentioned before, my having chapel with children in our preschool ministry is a highlight of my month. Now hear me when I say I don't liken myself to God or Jesus, but I do consider myself a gateway of sorts to them. I feel deeply that if one of God's reps gets in the way of their approaching the welcome of Jesus, it's a disgrace. Not to mention the monsters who harm and abuse children, manipulating the sanctuary of the church. But it's not just me that are, there are other gatekeepers to Christ, folks like you, you know, those gathered in his name. How you treat and embrace or discard their presence can serve as an open door or one slammed in their faces. You either help or you hinder. Whether you like kids or not, how you encounter these children matters, as they always look to the adults as their example, as sources for direction and worth. In essence, you have a responsibility to the family. We all must focus on the family. Do not hinder, we are told. Do not hinder. But also learn from the family's children, you know. What, pray tell, does that snot-nosed little bugger have to teach me, you might think. Well, before you think you have this whole faith and glory thing figured out, you just might sit on the sidelines and observe a child intrigued by a butterfly or making a snow angel to remind yourself of engaging the joy of creation as God so requires. It can be simple. But you knew that, right? So let's move on to another gateway to God, probably the most obvious. I want to spend the last moments focusing upon the actual parents in this room, as well as those parents who cannot or who have not made it into rooms such as these for one reason or the other. I want to consider how we may hinder our children in their walk toward the feet, the lap, and the hands and heart of Jesus, and the wonder and mystery of God. So when we focus on intentionally parenting as believers, we must consider what that looks like, how we live so as not to hinder. Well, if we begin with faith each day, the spiritual caretaking of ourselves, we can't help but share that with the ones we love. Love God, love other, right? That means spouse to spouse, parent to child to parent, child to child. No exceptions. Loving one another as God loves us. That God, whose goal for every adult in this room is to have faith like a child. That God, whose goal for every child in this room is to have a faithful adult to follow. So again, we must consider how we live so as not to hinder a little child from coming to the Lord. How we live, what we prioritize, speaks volumes. So what gets first bidding about your time? Be honest with yourself and don't come up with a list of excuses before you inventory. Just simply make a list of how you spend your time. And don't forget how much you spend thinking about that thing or that place that you spend most of your time. The fancy word is called preoccupation. Like if you spend most of your waking hours at work, do you at least leave your work there and engage your present surroundings? Like the child needing you to hear about their horrible, terrible day at school? I double dog dare you to go home today and make an honest list of time well spent and time poorly spent. While you're at it, does God time honestly find a place on the list? Does how you spend your time hinder you from coming to the Lord? Back to that hindering. What does your child's list of to-dos look like? What gets first bidding of their time? What must-dos, must-be-dones, must-be-part-of-events do you see? Do these events and goals and time and commitments hinder them from coming to the Lord? I know, they are all really good things. They will help them get where they want to go, or should I say where you want them to go. But is it really where they need to go? If you believe that God is good and offers your child the best path, then folks, they need to go to God. So I ask, does how they spend their time hinder them from coming to the Lord? We have to answer that question. We are called to answer that question. What is hindering us to do so? Knowing the answer for your children just may be you. Because as hard as it is to hear, whatever hinders you, child of God, hinders your children. Therefore, as hard as it is to answer, the question begs and your heart and soul and mind depend upon it. It might sting, it might stun, but God knows the answer needs to help us find our way back as children to our Father.